Podcast.
Welcome back. Finally.
It's nice to do like two in a row here, right?
I know. We're damn near three. Getting back in the swing of things.
It's a new record for the long time here.
Yeah, we were busy for a while, bud.
Still busy.
But that's not true. We are still busy.
We make time.
For the important things.
It's important to make time.
For all the people.
That's right. The people, they've been demanding it. I mean, I know my inbox is full.
Inundated.
Is that the cool thing to say, or my DMs are blowing up?
People are sliding into the DMs. That's what's hip. That's what's hot.
Where's that podcast cheese we need? Well, here it comes. Get ready for that cheese.
That good.
We got lots of good stuff to talk about this time.
Yeah, it's been a really wonderful holiday week, I think.
It has, yes. It is Thanksgiving weekend. We had our first big sale at the store. We
blew the doors off door busters. People were beating down the doors,
frankly. That's right. I had people.
It was hard to keep them away.
People were waiting outside this morning, waiting for me to turn that sign. Turn that sign open. Boom. They came rolling in.
And who could blame them for these deals?
If I didn't own the place, I'd come rolling in. I mean, that's just, it's a great place. I don't know why you wouldn't want to come in here.
Right.
I can think of two reasons.
Do what?
Two reasons? Yeah.
I thought you said I can give you tourists.
I can do that too. I don't know what that means. All right, let's get into some fun stuff. What do you want to get into first? Want to talk Hawkeye? You want to talk?
Oof. So I think of our main topics, looking back at the last couple, there's three shows that have come out in the last 2 weeks. Two of which I've consumed the fuck out of, one of which I am ashamed to say I haven't touched, but I think you're in a similar boat, so I think it's okay. I found myself often in this last week kind of fighting between, do I watch Hawkeye, do I watch Masters of the Universe Revelations, or do I watch Cowboy Bebop?
Sure. You know,
sadly, Cowboy Bebop has fallen by the wayside.
That old conundrum.
Right. That old ball of yarn.
I've just been trying to use conundrum in a conversation lately. Thanks for helping me out.
Yeah, how's it been going for you?
Not too well.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
that. It's been a bit of a conundrum.
Ooh, look at you.
You like that?
So I ended up devouring MOTU Revelations because, I mean, when you have only five episodes and they're 23 minutes a pop, that makes life a lot easier.
It does.
So that I kind of slid through those and really fucking loved them.
I haven't touched those yet.
What?
That's just something I know nothing about. Not that I don't want to watch it. That was never my thing. It was right after me.
Sure.
I just never went back and discovered it.
So, like, for me, Masters wasn't huge for me as a kid. I had the figures. But the first five that dropped in, what, I guess May or whatever, I came into just, like, kind of blind, but knowing, like, all right, it's a Kevin Smith product, and that cast was through the roof, so I knew I was going to give it a shot.
Sure.
I went into it and fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Holy cow, did I think those first five were fun.
Yeah.
So I was stoked on the back half, and it did not disappoint, man.
Good.
Like, we got Savage He-Man.
Okay.
Some shit that I was not ready for, but was dope as fuck.
Yeah.
I feel like it dealt with...
Everybody has to know He-Man was coming back.
Oh, totally.
It's like, not like...
Anyone that didn't know that is a fucking idiot.
Right.
I think. Like, that's one of those things that when I saw complaints from the first, I guess the first half, the first whatever chunk,
yeah,
and people were like, oh, this is bullshit. It's the Teela show. They killed off He-Man. It's like, motherfucker, have you ever watched Fantasy?
Right.
Like, you know they're coming back, right?
No one's dead.
This is, they're going to be fine.
That's right.
But, you know, it's not my call.
It is not.
But yeah, like, so I was super stoked for this back half. And it didn't disappoint. Like, there's really fun action sequences that were really neat.
Okay.
But one thing that I wasn't ready for, but was really pleasantly surprised by, was they really tied in these in a totally non-preachy way, these really interesting motifs of like love and loss in kind of a healthy way, I guess. So like there's a ton of this back half that deals with the idea that Skeletor is an abusive partner to Evil-Lyn.
Okay.
In a way that doesn't feel like, ooh, they're telling me domestic abuse is bad, you know, but right. like in a way that like really fucking works
right.
and really makes some totally two-dimensional characters really sympathetic. You know, same thing like you deal with this idea with King Randor and the Queen of like maybe getting divorced because of the grief of Adam dying in the beginning, like when he like
and so, realize Eternia had divorce lawyers,
right? Yeah. Well. But just kind of in an interesting way, like in not in like a this is the focus and this trust, right. but like in right. a way that's like oh wow, like.
Like dealing with that kind of
yeah,
tragedy.
Like
sure.
it's like so Adam, when Adam returns, it is what is the fallout of your son being dead? You know? So it's like you see a different version of King Randor that is apologetic and soft in a really paternal way. And you see how the king and queen dealt with that loss in a like very like they don't gloss over it, I guess, okay. is what it is. It's not like that's not the focus of the
sure,
episode.
Sure, sure, sure.
And the way I'm talking about it makes it sound like it is, but really, it's like if you're a married couple and your adult son passes, there's consequences to that.
Right.
So when he comes back, it's not immediately like, oh fuck, this
fixed.
Is awesome. It's
right.
like, oh wow, we've had to. Like navigate these waters for X amount of time,
right?
And that was really fucking hard. And I appreciate that. Like,
sure.
I appreciate that they don't gloss over that moment.
Sure.
And
sure.
the same thing with like Skeletor and Evil-Lyn. That I was really pleased with that back half. It's an easy, right. you know, it's like I said, it's 5 20-minute episodes. It's an easy hour and 45 minutes to get through.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I put on at the shop tomorrow when I get here.
Yeah, I recommend.
I'll give it. You know, that way the first. I feel like I'm yelling. That way the first. You know, half the first couple. I can pay real close attention to.
Yeah.
And then if I have to, I can always visit the third and fourth. That kind of.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to pay attention to the first couple. So.
Totally.
But yeah, that's. You know, once again, I'm not on my game. I have not watched that, but. I have watched both Hawkeye episodes.
What a fucking treat that was, man.
It was so weird. Now that I think about it, I sat here and watched the second one with you, and I purposely did not say a word to you.
Uh-huh. I was reading comics at the time for the same reason, as I didn't want
right.
to say anything with you
because right.
I wanted this to be a fresh conversation right. tonight.
Well, it was just odd because every now and then I'd laugh at something, and I'd look up, and you're reading something like, oh, he's not paying attention yet. It feels weird to laugh at something
right.
on TV when no one else is watching it. I'm like, but I feel like you're like, look at that douche just laughing
no,
out loud.
I had quite a few laughs out of it. I'm glad.
I really enjoyed it.
That you reacted similarly.
Yeah.
I was reading comics to intentionally take myself out of it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want... I didn't want my viewership to affect yours.
Totally, yeah.
And I knew that we were going to have a conversation tonight,
right,
so I didn't
right.
want to spoil it.
Jeremy Renner's great. He has his great... I love the way they're using Hawkeye more as the... they're doing a lot more of the sarcastic Hawkeye.
Yes.
You know, the eye-rolling, like the... You know, oh, I'm going to... When he was going to shoot Pietro at that one point, I could shoot him. No one would know.
Right.
Like, you know, that kind of... I love that Hawkeye.
He feels... so ground level in such a refreshing way.
Totally. Yep.
Because I think flaw is the wrong word, but for lack of a better word, I think the one of the few flaws in what's going on in the MCU is that everything feels so grand mm-hmm. now. Because, you know, we had to spend 12, 13 years, whatever, getting to this point, and it's natural that it is grand and is huge. So it's I'm not saying that to denigrate them, but just that's where it goes.
Sure.
And in doing so, sometimes as a viewer, you get lost in the idea that these are really human stories. So when you get a Hawkeye that is exceptionally human,
mm-hmm.
and you get a story that's like, all right, this is just going to be about like him and the mafia, but really it's going to be about a guy who became ultra sympathetic during the Infinity War saga.
Right.
From losing his family and just trying to get fucking home.
Totally. Right.
And trying to be a pseudo parent to this kid that didn't have a dad. Like,
right.
There's something about that that just feels really like, oh, cool.
Right.
Like, we're not dealing with fucking aliens and superhumans and like X, Y, and Z wild shit. We're just dealing with like a dude who needs to do the right thing totally. For the right reasons.
Totally. Yeah.
And he does so begrudgingly. So you get that fucking,
that's right.
You know, I'm too old for this shit.
Absolutely.
Type of attitude, which is fun to watch.
Yep. Yep. But I mean, very, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, I feel like I'm going to say the wrong term for it because it's not really like post-traumatic stress, but it's kind of post-traumatic stress
totally.
For him.
No, you know what I mean? That's not the wrong word. I don't want to
belittle it, but you know, like, you know, obviously that's a very serious thing, but like the whole, you know, when he's going to the bathroom and sees, you know, well, no, Thanos was
it,
right.
It is a serious thing, but it's also like, that's the story they're telling.
Totally. Right. Right.
And for if we're looking at that character as a real person, post-traumatic stress is 100% the
all him.
Yeah, like,
I mean,
that's
he lost his
self.
Best friend
right
in front of him. Like, that's, you know, I mean, Die Hard style.
And, and he lost his family for 5 years.
Right.
Like, that's what we forget. Like, as viewers, I think sometimes you have to.
It's a comic book movie.
You
so
want
right.
to dive in, but you also want to stay removed.
Totally.
But, like, if you think about in the, as far as what this character is going through, they've lost their family for 5 years.
Right.
Like, could you imagine, and, like, and in the most heartbreaking way, like, the way that Endgame opens up with him just, like, losing all of them.
Right, right.
All at once.
Right.
Such a fucking gut punch.
Yeah.
So if we're honoring this character, the loss that he's endured, and then he comes back from it, and it's for the rest of the world, it's
well, the loss he endures is
moving
then,
on, and now he just has to kind of try to put the pieces back together
right.
as if that 5 years didn't happen,
right?
Because for everyone else in his life, the 5 years didn't,
right?
So you get that kind of that almost Steve Rogers Man Out of Time
sure.
feel,
yeah.
And I feel like he sells that really well to
me.
He does. Like that right. feels
well,
accurate.
Say, you know, he lost his family, but it kind of he died in a way too, because then becomes Ronan basically,
right?
And goes on a murderous rampage for 5 years basically,
mm-hmm. And then he has to rectify Ronan
totally.
In this
so that's
show
like
right away,
rectifying his most horrible wrongs,
right?
And somehow having to justify it, or I don't know. You know, we're only two episodes in, so we don't know
right.
the entire story, but.
But you get that heartbreaking version while at the same time getting like the just really fun, charming, like the LARP scene.
Yeah.
Like how much fun is
yes.
that?
Yes.
And how much is that like just when the show starts to feel a little too heavy or a little too like taking itself too seriously, you get fucking 7 minutes of a LARP sequence
right.
in
right.
in Central Park, and that's
yes.
just delightful.
Yes. You know what else made me laugh really nice too was when they're running through like what I assume was Times Square, and there's a Captain America and what you think is Hawkeye,
yeah,
but he's like, no,
that's
Katniss.
Katniss Everdeen.
Right.
So great.
What a fun moment. That was man. Great. What a nice call there.
Yeah, and you have like Kate Bishop, the whole just like, your problem's branding. He's like, no, I'm not trying to sell it, but
right.
like you. You get this kind of like fun moment.
It's like you go through the whole, you act like you don't care, which kind of makes you cooler. But yeah, it's,
right.
It's great. It's great.
But it's kind of this fun moment because you think about like superheroes really are this commercial entity.
Right.
However, if you're trying to put real logic into that world, a guy that made a career out of being a super like a soldier and a spy is not at all interested in commercialism.
Exactly. Right.
And so, like, that becomes kind of a fun sort of, like, yeah, if we're playing this straight up,
right?
Of course he doesn't have a branding issue. He doesn't want people to know who he is.
Exactly. Exactly.
But because it's also a comic book that we all love and appreciate, that it's just kind of a fun play.
It is. Absolutely. I loved it. Speaking of the play, what did you think of the play?
Rogers.
It was so wonderfully terrible that it's believable.
Exactly. It's, yeah. And it's so fun because it's just like...
It makes me worry that someone's working on something very similar.
You mean like Spider-Man Into the Dark?
Yes.
It's that?
Basically. I love the little part where he's like, he wasn't even there, like yelling at Ant-Man. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. It's fun shit. It's fun.
Like that, for sure. Like watching the Rogers play was like, it felt so real in the cheapest way.
Totally. Yep.
And like that... There's a certain level of grounding to like it. Yeah. It feels like it's Die Hard as a series.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You
yeah.
know,
yeah,
like it's like this will 100% be in my Christmas rotation for years to come.
Sure,
yep. I can already say that.
What once you know, I read Hawkeye, you know, vaguely, randomly here and there. I didn't follow it, you know, religiously. Does the dog play a big role going forward? I figured somehow, but I mean, way we're not gonna think.
Pizza Dog, Lucky the Pizza Dog.
Yeah,
that run in the early 2010s. Like I want to say that was. I'm trying to think. I remember it was when I was working at Heads and Threads, and I was buying that run at Star Clipper in the Loop. So I'm gonna guess that's 2012, 2013. In that ballpark, when this Hawkeye run came out, that like the fingerprints are all over it, like that fucking the title sequence looks like it's pulled from the pages of that run.
Absolutely.
It was one of those like I read because it was a new story at the time, but I didn't fall in love with it. And I know the change. Like I remember in that. Kate Bishop's mom died, not her dad.
Okay.
And it was a much more, like, I think she was a sexual assault survivor. So it was a lot more, like, there's a lot more PTSD about that run in a much more kind of earnest way, opposed to how they're playing it in the MCU, which is more family friendly.
Of course.
And makes perfect sense. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that as a critique. But that run is very clearly what this is based on.
Yeah.
And it's building us towards a Young Avengers storyline.
Sure. Which I'm here for.
Fuck yeah.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. So anyways, Hawkeye. Yay.
Yeah, man, I'm for it.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it so far.
I would say this is only based off two episodes. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I would say even two episodes in, this is probably already my second favorite of all of the MCU Disney Plus series.
Really?
I already like it more than What If, Captain America and Winter Soldier, and Loki.
Can I just say before we move on? There was a guy in the shop earlier who said he really enjoyed his favorite
was Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I'm really proud of you that you did not like jump over the counter and shake him. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? That it's obviously bottom of the barrel so far.
It is the weakest, but it's the weakest. But it's
still good. Very
good. Yes. Like, yes. I think my issue with Falcon and Winter Soldier was way more about its timing than its content.
Sure.
My issue with Falcon and Winter Soldier is my same issue with Black Widow. It's all timing. It's like, you're going to come out the fucking gate with WandaVision, and it is going to be so magical. And again, like, I'm dyed in the wool, Scarlet Witch, House of M, like, that was going to get me.
Right.
But, like, the way it dealt with grief and loss in such a fun and approachable way, and having it like a really super interesting, weird, like off the wall fucking concept of like old, like that was a big swing that turned into a 500-foot home run.
Sure, yeah.
Whereas like Falcon and Winter Soldier felt a lot more safe.
Right.
So it was less interesting to me. And like, I also feel like if we're just talking Falcon and Winter Soldier for the moment,
you can talk whatever you like.
I loved that story gives you the, it raises the question, what does it mean to be Captain America?
Mm-hmm.
It raises the question, what does it mean to wear the stars and stripes as a person of color in this country? There's a lot of really fertile ground there.
Sure.
That I feel like they didn't go all in on.
Sure.
And to me, like, if they go all fucking in on that, even if they missed, which, it, you know, maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. But if you go all in on the idea of Black Captain America, and that is a story about being a person of color in this country, that's more interesting to me than just being like the kind of fighty, iffy, whatever that we got.
Oh, sure.
You
sure.
know, like I, see, like, I, yeah, like yeah. I would like to have seen them be yeah. like, take a big fucking swing, take a sure. risk. Like, you know, that's going to alienate some of your fan base, but at least that's an interesting and valid story.
Yeah, it's not Disney's game.
Right.
So, what's what?
And that's what made that the weakest, but still very enjoyable. Because I loved the themes. I just would like them to have gone a little further into them to yep. really to really ask some questions. What If was just pure fun.
Mm-hmm.
Loki, pure fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Loki, I guess if I'm trying to be objective about all of it, writing wise, Loki probably is the worst.
Really?
But Loki, with the exception of WandaVision, has the best performances that it buoys those things.
Yeah.
Like, the entire fucking cast of Loki crushed that show.
Of course, yeah.
That show was so insanely well performed that
it didn't have to be written well.
Yeah, and it again, this is a sliding scale.
I understand.
It was written well. It just like wasn't, you know, it wasn't fucking Shakespeare. It wasn't greatest yeah. that they'd done.
Yeah, it's fucking Owen Wilson, bro.
Right, but like, I feel like Owen Wilson crushed it. Tom Hiddleston crushed it.
Yeah.
The women who, it absolutely breaks my heart to not be able to say their names, but who played Judge Renslayer.
Yeah.
And the woman who played the TVA agent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they crushed.
Yeah, totally.
Fucking Jonathan Majors. Holy shit, was he fun to watch as Kang, and I can't wait to see more of him as Kang.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. But like, that show was totally buoyed by killer performances.
Wow, man. Wow. I got to do Owen again.
But then that brings it to like Hawkeye. This is without a doubt, to me, the most fun and the most engaged I've been in a Disney Plus MCU thing since WandaVision.
Fair enough.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm digging it.
Like, the tone's right.
Yes.
The performances are right.
Yep.
It's hitting at the right time.
Yep. I think at some point we'll get a nice little pop-in surprise from somebody.
For sure.
You know.
Who do you think it is? That's an interesting question.
He's in New York.
I think we've got to get Florence Pugh, the new Black Widow.
Okay.
Yelena.
Okay.
I think based on her post-credit scene.
I see that.
It makes sense for her to pop up.
Because she thinks Clint killed her sister.
Right.
Yes, that makes sense.
So it makes sense that she would show up. Naturally, it makes sense that Elaine Bennis herself would show up.
Correct. I would say that. But I wouldn't consider either one of those big surprises. Not big. I wouldn't.
Sure. Not big surprises, but I mean, they're going to be big.
They're going to be.
I
see them more as, like you say, post-credits or something that builds on something else. I don't see them as the big bad or anything like that.
Oh, definitely not. No, I think they're going to be teased.
Yes, yes.
They are going to be used more cinematically than anywhere else.
Do we see maybe, not that this is huge either, what was the doctor's name in Thor? And then, you know, who worked on the Infinity Stone and...
Oh, Eric Selvig?
Eric Selvig, yeah. I could see him popping up, maybe even Darcy.
I could see a world where Sam Wilson pops up.
Sure, absolutely. Yep.
That would be a big get.
Yep.
Um, especially given what they've been doing. It'd be cool to see that version of Captain America.
Totally. Totally.
But then I don't think they'll, if he shows up, he will show up as Captain America. And after his huge reveal as Captain America in the series, I feel like his next appearance as Captain America has got to be in a movie.
Agreed.
Like that, agree. The Disney Plus seems like too small of a place for that.
Agreed.
Yeah. Maybe a Bucky though. I could see a Bucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't have the answer. I mean, I just think someone like that has to pop up. And once I go back to New York, I mean, Wong pops up in everything.
Ooh, yeah.
I feel like he
Wong
can easily...
and Shang-Chi. What if that, you know, we're doubling down on the future of Marvel? What if we get a Simu Liu? A Shang-Chi?
Totally. Yes.
That could be
much. Yep.
That would be a fun poll. Or even if we want to be even more fun, just give me an Awkwafina.
Sure. I'm down for
that. Show me her fucking valeting a car.
Right.
Just as a bit.
Yeah, I'd be down for something like that.
What a sneaky Easter egg that would be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't have the answer to my question, obviously. I'm just throwing it out there, but there's got to be somebody fun that pops in there.
I would agree. I think they're going to give us something. Well, especially because, like,
I mean,
after this, so, like...
Is Happy Hogan, that do it for you? It's a New York guy. He's dating Aunt May.
No, he's going to show up in...
He's dating Aunt May.
But he's going to be all over Spider-Man.
Oh, you bet he is.
He's
going to be Spider-Dad.
So I guess the real...
Stepdad.
Step-uncle.
Yes, you're us. I'm sorry.
But I think, so like, No Way Home comes out the 17th. So Hawkeye won't be over by then. How many episodes is Hawkeye?
I honestly do not know.
I don't know either.
I think 6, but I don't know for sure.
So if it's... Yeah, even if it's 6, it won't be over by then.
Yeah.
I feel like it's either 6 or 8.
Yeah.
So I think all of the things that are in store for No Way Home won't cross over. So I don't think we're going to get a Happy Hogan.
Fair enough.
We're not going to get any of those characters.
Okay. Okay.
So you got to think about who doesn't show up there.
Okay. So, yeah.
Well,
then that kind of kicks Wong out, too,
right, because he'll be there.
Yeah.
But Wong has seemed like... kind of a thread.
Yes.
That I could see Wong.
But that makes me feel a little more confident about a Bucky.
Yes. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, then let's also think, like, what's down the pipe for Marvel? Because they announced a bunch of stuff on Disney Plus Day, but none of that stuff is imminent.
Nothing.
Right? Like, right. I think for next year, if I'm remembering correctly, the only Disney Plus thing we're getting is What If Season 2.
That sounds correct.
Because I know, like, we're going to get Multiverse of Madness, and we're going to get...
all the Star Wars stuff, obviously, but yeah.
Right, but, like, we're just looking straight Marvel. We're going to get Multiverse of Madness in the theaters. We're going to get Thor, Love, and Thunder in theaters. Mm-hmm. We're going to get... shit. Why am I blanking all of a sudden? But we've got a 3 or 4... theatrical things next year from Marvel. But I think of all the Disney Plus stuff they have in the works, I don't know that is Loki season 2 going to be next year?
Maybe, I think so.
They announced a season 2 of Loki.
I'm pretty sure.
And a season 2 of What If.
Mm-hmm.
And I know What If will be next year. Mm-hmm. So let's say Loki season 2 is next year.
Okay.
And I guess we don't have WandaVision season 2, but we do have the Agatha Harkness series, but they just announced that. That's got to be 2023.
Right.
The Marvels, that Ms. Marvel show.
Sure.
And She-Hulk.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so I guess we have Ms. Marvel,
That's
She-Hulk.
Right. That's right.
Bruce
Banner.
Oh.
Bruce Banner's in New York. He's got to be hanging out, right?
And that's a great tie into She-Hulk, which is where... Bruce Banner's the guy.
I hope that's the guy.
That's it.
I like that one.
I think we just uncovered this. Solved this riddle.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No need to go see anything now. It's all taken care of.
Just come here for all your needs.
That's right. 671 Big Ben. So anyways, Hawkeye's great. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that what we were talking about there?
I've had a ton of fun with it. I am excited to jump into it moving forward.
I've always enjoyed Jeremy Renner in general.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty good actor.
I agree with that.
I even enjoyed that Jason Bourne bullshit. You ever see that?
I didn't see that, but I'm also not a Jason Bourne, Bourne Identity type of guy. Like, yeah. I
enjoyed those.
I think I have only seen the first one, like the Bourne Identity.
Okay.
I think that's the only one I've ever seen.
I love that that Paul Rudd line, 40-year-old virgin. It's like, I always thought Damon was kind of a Streisand, but he kicks ass in this movie. I forgot what I was talking about now.
Hey, we get Paul Rudd on the mind. You know how we all know what it does to you to get Paul Rudd on the mind.
Let's not talk about that. This is an all ages show.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know where I was going. I apologize.
Well, you know, you should be.
We were, what the hell were we talking about? Jeez. I got nothing.
We were talking about Paul Rudd and Born Identity and how you enjoyed
Jeremy Renner. Even in That's right. I was talking to Jeremy Renner and I got sidetracked to the Paul Rudd. What a sandwich.
Wouldn't you love to be the meat of that sandwich?
I even enjoyed, Jeremy Renner was great in that, did you see Tag?
Tag? Fuck yeah.
It's great.
It's a fun movie.
You know, I always wondered, are those his real eyes? In that movie, they look insane. Go back and watch Tag.
I guess I'd have to.
His eyes kind of look insane.
In my head, I watched the movie. I remember the movie enough, but I don't remember thinking about his eyes at all.
Best John Hamm movie?
Ooh.
I can't think of any other good movies he's
in.
That's
what I was going to say. John Hamm is a great television actor.
Yes. Great sketch guy on SNL when he pops up, but movies, not so much luck.
Especially movies that he's, he's got some bit parts that work in good, like he's in Bridesmaids.
I was going to say,
bit part.
Right, right.
And that's a very funny movie, but, like, that's not a John Hamm movie.
Right, right.
I would say, as far as, I mean.
I couldn't even tell you another John Hamm movie.
Right?
It's got to be like a romantic comedy or something, right?
That makes me sad.
I know.
St. Louis Boy.
Make that money. Fuck right. that.
Hey, he's got his TV career.
He's doing
fine. Boy, is it doing well.
That's right. That's right. Whenever there's a Cardinals or a Blues playoffs game, he's got a ticket.
You can count on John Hamm.
He's doing okay.
You can count on John Hamm.
That's right. That's right. What else we got? What else we want to chat about?
So we watched a movie the other night
mm-hmm.
that I know you haven't watched yet, but I feel okay talking about it because it's not a thing that's super spoiler worrisome.
Okay.
Libby and I watched 8-Bit Christmas.
Oh, yeah, sure.
On HBO Max on Thanksgiving night. What a fucking fun movie.
It's got a lot of people in there, right?
So it's Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Steve Zahn.
Yeah. Is Ron Funman Funches in that one?
No.
No?
Funches isn't in it. God, I can't remember. The woman who's in it, you're going to recognize her face the instant you see her. The woman who plays Neil Patrick Harris's mom. But really, most of the time, it's like his youth. So you're seeing her in like her
40s. Okay.
So it's like someone probably in her late 30s to early 40s. It's an actress that you fucking recognize that I do too, that kills me. But really exceptionally fun movie.
Good. It's good to hear. It's a straight Christmas movie, too.
It's a straight Christmas movie. We have both had this conversation. Off air, and I'm about to out both of us on air. Neither of us are huge fans of A Christmas Story.
Correct.
Don't at me, bro. It's just not a great movie.
No, you know what? Convince me otherwise.
Yeah. And I'm not even going to say it's a bad movie, but it just gets so worshipped that it's like, well, this is a mediocre at best Christmas movie.
There are 10 better ones.
Easily.
And that's not even hard to find.
Right. It's worse than every Rankin Bass special.
Right, right.
But this did have a bit of a Christmas Story undertone.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, the whole premise is around all he wants for Christmas is a Nintendo 64.
For sure.
You know, a Nintendo Entertainment System, an NES, not a 64. But you know, just like how in A Christmas Story, all he wanted was a Red Ryder.
Right.
So it kind of plays with that idea a little bit. And it's like, it's a bit of a period piece in the same way that Christmas Story is, and that it's a person in modern day narrating something from their youth.
Okay.
So like the movie kind of bounces back and forth from like Neil Patrick Harris is the essentially the narrator.
Okay.
So it's like you're dealing with him in present time telling a story to his daughter, and most of the movie is him telling the story of his youth.
Okay. Gotcha.
So like So but like it's a totally fun, totally engaging story, like not mind blowing. It's completely predictable,
sure,
as you'd expect it to be. But really fun. The bits are funny. But then at the end, the climax does something different than you expect in a really lovely way.
Okay.
Like I found it like watching it the whole way through totally predictable, and I was fine with it being like it was what I wanted it to be. It was predictable in all the right ways.
Okay.
And then the very end, like you feel like you know what's going to happen, and something a little bit different happens that is exceptionally sweet.
Okay, tight.
And it's just kind of like it's heartwarming in the way you want a Christmas movie to warm your heart.
Tight.
You know, like I left it with like, oh man, like that's really fucking sweet.
Good.
Like,
good to hear.
Like, totally worth your time. And it's, you know, it's an hour 40. Like, it's an easy in and out. It's, you know, we watched it with our kids awake. Like, it's a PG. So it's right. Very approachable. But, like, Libby and I both had a ton of fun with it.
Cool. The kids like that?
Yeah. Clara fell asleep. Noelle was awake the whole time.
Is it for kids? Is it, like, Home Alone-y?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't say so.
Okay, I was curious.
Like,
yeah.
It's not more adult than Home Alone is, I guess, but it's also just not kid-centric.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
And I think there's a certain amount of it that I think just plays better if you were a kid when we were kids.
Okay.
Because there's just, there's a certain amount of jokes that are just kind of in jokes from being alive in the 80s.
Okay.
That, like, aren't exclusionary, but they're just a little, they're like
hit different.
Just they're like they're actually funny if you were alive in the 80s, sure. Whereas if you just know about the 80s, you're kind of like, okay, whatever,
right?
You know,
sure.
Like
I get the interesting.
So yeah, it's one that like I think as I was watching, I was like, oh, Brandon will dig this, like it's worth your time. You and Jess would have fun.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I added it to my list. I was looking for I'm always looking for something like that for the two of us to watch, because we rarely agree on shows and movies and things like that. So
yeah, this one's really it's fun.
Like, there's a handful of like Christmas movies that we can actually watch. That like, okay, we'll both watch right. This. You know what I mean? So,
and most this was of, like the same producers that did Elf.
Oh, tight. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. And it's good performers. It's like it's people that you just know like, yeah, they're gonna do a thing that works.
Right.
Like at worst, it's gonna work.
Yep. Yep.
And it does.
And it works.
Yeah. Believe it or not, it fucking works.
You got anything else, man? I really didn't have much on my list tonight. I did a little bit of research and some writing down. I, you know, I'm still fading. I'm not doing good, but, you know.
Still fading.
Well, I mean, as far as, like, on my research, I'm not doing what I need to be doing, but.
Ah, you know, we'll be all right. I mean, the only thing that I wanted to, I guess, kind of wrap up with is the books that we've read this week.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Some things that are interesting.
Yeah.
Off the shelves. So I know like one that we've both read that I think we may actually have some differing opinions on.
Yes.
That's kind of fun. Star Wars Life Day.
Ugh. I didn't hate it, but it just was unnecessary.
It is entirely unnecessary. But I thought it was very fun. Like when you first dropped that issue on me, when I walked in last Tuesday and you were like, this is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, I didn't
sell. You've got to read it.
Yeah, I'm not doing like, a good job of selling it well, but yeah.
I like totally unnecessary.
Yeah.
100%. But
I think it just right away stirs up bad memories and images
of being a child of the 80s.
And then I don't it can't work after that. You know what I'm saying? For at least for me,
I
can't.
Mean, I get it. I guess just,
it wasn't enjoyable. Did I read it? Yes. Did I feel like I was assigned an assignment? Yes.
See, but I felt like what was fun is it brought in, and the kind of like the time travel, or not time travel, but time hopping aspect, I guess. We saw some characters from the High Republic series, which was fun to run into them.
Yep, some young Solo.
We spent a lot of time with Oga's Cantina and the Black Spire Outpost, so we got that like Disneyland connection and bring Galaxy's Edge into the universe.
Right.
Saw a really beautifully illustrated like Empire era Leia that like just automatically is just warm something in my heart. I thought it was a goddamn fun read.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to the next issue.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
I disagree.
That's
all I can really do.
That was one of my favorite reads of the week.
Oof. Well, I mean, I didn't have a lot of great stuff I read this week, but that was not probably top of the list.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I read some stuff that I enjoyed this. So like, I mean, aside from that, I'm trying to think.
You know what I read that I actually, I'm not going to say I recommend because it's fucking out there. It's way out there.
Hmm.
David Bitterbaum.
Yeah.
Nice shout out. Recommended a book to me. The Filth. Little Grant Morrison.
Okay.
Deep dive Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
It's good. It's very good. But God damn it, it's out there. Like it's,
really?
I don't even know how to even start describing this book. Like, I honestly can't. It takes a while to. You have to reread some things because, you know, people. I don't know if it was. I can't remember if it's like a parasite or whatever. But jumps to people, so it's different people. You don't know it's the same person all the time.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
you can't like follow the perspective of the narrator?
Yes, exactly. And
okay.
And that's how it kind of reads is like
interesting. Wait,
does it read really from the symbiote or whatever jumping? It reads from just
the people it's inhabiting.
But I'm not doing a good job selling it, but it's out there, but it's fun. It was fun to read. I had to, like I said, reread a little bit here and there. Like, wait, what just happened? But it's fun. I like Grant Morrison, so I'm in for anything he does.
Sure,
so
sure.
That was fun. That was fun. It's an older book, but that's not new, but it was a good read I had.
What a few issue ones that were interesting to me. Like, you know, and we've had this conversation before. Like, I feel like an issue one of almost any story is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, if anyone worth their salt is writing it. But Wonder Woman Evolution.
Oh, sure.
Had issue one that I really enjoyed. It was a really fun. Fun's the wrong word. It was a really interesting story.
Okay.
About the idea of whether or not humanity deserves to live based on the pure evolutionary idea of survival of the fittest.
Okay.
That kind of like launched off and we're like, all right, you could take this in a cool place.
Yeah.
And so far, it's just issue one.
Mm-hmm.
And then issue one of Hulk is this entire... So, like, the whole idea of issue one of Hulk, or of this run of Hulk, is that Hulk doesn't exist to, like, serve Bruce Banner's rage. Instead, Hulk exists to protect us from Bruce Banner.
Okay.
So it's like this idea of like if Bruce Banner didn't have Hulk, he would just be a fucking mad scientist.
Okay. Like that.
And that's kind of an interesting play. So like it's this different. All starts with like Banner developing this system that like imprisons the Hulk and lets Banner be in charge of the Hulk body.
Okay.
And like almost kills Tony Stark like right off the bat. Okay. So there's a lot of just like, okay, I'm interested.
Sure.
I'll see where you're headed.
I like that. That's a different type of story to tell for the Hulk.
Yeah. It was one that I like after issue one, it has its,
cause I normally don't like many of the Hulk issues. Yeah.
I don't love the way they illustrated Bruce Banner. Like it didn't feel Bruce Banner-y to me.
Okay.
But I don't like that. Certainly doesn't take me out of it.
Right.
But I'm interested to see where that goes from here. And that Black Panther Legacy issue 2 came out this week. And that's playing in a pretty cool storyline that, like, I don't quite know where it's going yet. But I think issue 3 is going to gonna start to really solidify a little bit more what the story is about, but I'm hyper interested.
Okay, tight.
And lastly, you catch up on a thing called Truth.
I know, that's my list
too. That
was
a few weeks ago.
It was.
I read that book today, finally, after it had been out for like 2 weeks. So I'm certainly well behind on it. Well, I'm not behind. Issue 2 is not out yet. But issue 1 was, you know, it was like, that was pretty well celebrated by critics.
Yeah.
And I would say after reading issue 1, I'm certainly fucking intrigued to see where it goes.
All right, cool. But that's on my list. I haven't read it yet either, but I got one back there I need to read.
Well, very cool. I shall
do that.
I will leave you to read it then, my friend.
I don't think I have anything. I feel like there's something else I'm missing. Stephen Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim.
Wouldn't need to say a lot, but you know, he passed away. It's
as the musical theater fan in me is just is crushed by it.
Of course, you know, it's a big loss.
He's as good as they come, and I think Lin-Manuel Miranda summed it up about as perfectly as anyone could yesterday. When basically says, like, you know, if you look at if you're a future historian looking at today's world, we all look back on the greatest, probably the greatest lyricist of all time, Stephen Shakespeare,
mm-hmm.
or William Shakespeare,
Stephen Shakespeare,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ,
yeah,
Stephen Shakespeare.
Yeah,
we look at William Shakespeare, and and there's always the question of, like, did he write it all? Did he have it? Like, what was right. really going on there? Stephen Sondheim really wrote it all.
I'm sure.
And fucking not good. Like, you can't be more prolific.
That's
or
right.
more of a master of your craft than he was at his.
That's right. That's right.
And what a loss.
Yep. Agreed.
That is.
Agreed.
But at the same time, 91 years old. What a gift of a life.
Good run.
He got to live.
Yep.
You know?
Solid run.
Anyone who makes it past 90, fuck, man.
Yep.
You did it.
Yep.
Like, it sucks to see you go, but fucking good on you.
That's
you
right.
You earned that way out.
Most definitely.
But yeah, I think that's
all I have, my friend. Cool. Thanks,
right,
guys.
We'll see you next week.